Well, when we were kids, I think it was one Christmas, thank you, Brad, my mom and dad bought us this. There's a picture there. Anyone here recognize that knife? That's in the 80s. That's not just any knife, is it? That's a Rambo knife, yes. Rambo. So, Rambo movie came out, we had knives like that, and you'll see there, if you open that knife at the back, there's a cap that you open up, and inside is a survival kit. I mean, you can outlast anyone with that thing. And the things my brother and I did, I just pray my parents never find out. But it was wonderful. There was matches in, you could make fire, you could fish, and all kinds of wonderful things that this Rambo knife brought to our lives. And, you know, in life, as Christians, we also sometimes need a survival kit. And so this morning, that's what I want to do. I want to take you to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to talk about the Christian survival kit. Romans chapter 12, just the two verses, verse 11 and 12. The Christian survival kit. This is God's holy word. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Well, let's just pray. Lord, we come now before you as we have read your word. We pray that you will speak through it, that your Holy Spirit will reveal truths to us that we have never seen before. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, a lot of us long to have a more consistent walk with God. That's my desire, and I hope it's your heart's desire as well, to have a consistent walk with God. Because sometimes we're hot and we're cold and we're up and we're down and all over the place. But I think these verses, verse 11, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, implies that Christians should have zeal for the Lord, should be on fire for the Lord. Fervent in the Greek language means something that's very hot. If it was a solid object, it would be red hot. So on fire for God, that's what we should be, and not just now and again, but consistently. I think to have a relationship with God is important, and the problem is sometimes we're very passionate about God, and we at church and we're singing and it's wonderful. Other times we found ourselves walking away from Him. God breaks into our lives on a Sunday and it's wonderful. But then we go back to work and back to school and back to university and it fades away. Very little is left of that wonderful passion for God. There's a big drought in the Western Cape. We've heard Brad pray about that. But I think sometimes there's a drought in our lives, spiritual lives as well. And there's no one in this building, if you're a Christian, that has never experienced that. Now, some of you might pretend you're holier than us, but it's the truth. All of us go through times where you like that guy in the picture, it's a desert and it's dry. And that's part of life, but I think we have to do better. We have to long. We have to have this desire to grow and to learn. And as the pastor of Central Baptist, my heart is for all of you to come into relationship with God through faith in Jesus and a genuine personal walk with Him. Authentic spirit-led growth. You know, I want to see baby Christians grow up in their faith. I want to see people looking at Central Baptist and saying those people are not perfect, because we're not. We're not perfect. But they are growing. They are learning. They are learning more about Jesus. But how do you maintain spiritual zeal? That's the challenge, isn't it? How do you maintain it? How do you survive the spiritual jungle we call life? Well, Paul gives us a Christian survival kit to help us become, and more importantly, to stay on fire for Jesus. So let's look at this Christian survival kit in verse 12. We're going to take it apart. Verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Now Romans 1:11 tells us about all God has done for us. The first 11 chapters, and then in chapter 12, it starts to talk about us offering our lives as a holy sacrifice to God. And from there on, it tells us, the rest of Romans, the book of Romans, tells us to live differently. How should we then live? How should we respond? And so the first tool in this survival kit this morning is Christian hope. Christian hope. Rejoice in hope. Now, when we're talking about a survival kit, it implies that there are obstacles, difficulties we face. You don't need a Rambo knife when you're in Pretoria, unless you're a kid. We all face difficulties and obstacles. And when it comes to Christian hope, the obstacle, I think, is disappointment. Disappointment. Unfulfilled expectations. Sometimes we're disappointed with God, because we thought that this will turn out in a specific way, and it didn't. And we expected from God, but we didn't receive. And we wonder where God is and what's happening. You go to church, you read your Bible, you're a good person, you're a good Christian even, you would say, but still things don't work out the way you would want it to. And disappointment sets in, and it robs us of hope. So we need hope to combat disappointment. Now, Christian hope, you'll remember, is very different from the hope that the world offers. John Piper described biblical hope as, and I want you to listen to this, biblical hope not only desires something good for the future, it expects it to happen. And not only expect it to happen, it is confident that it will happen. There is a moral certainty that the good we expect and desire will be done. You see the difference? Hope is something that inspires us. Romans 8:24 is a beautiful verse. It says, "For in this hope we are saved." Now our hope that is seen is not hope. Did you hear that? Hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees. So if you can see it, why do you hope? Because it's there. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Verse 18 of that same Romans 8 tells us, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." We all know Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. When I was a student, Proverbs 30, verse 5 meant a lot to me. And I want to share that with you. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, "Every word of God proves true." Amen. It's the truth. Every word of God is true. And He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. The wonderful, powerful word of God and the precious promises it holds is an inexhaustible source of hope. It is. It's hope. It brings hope. And if there's something that we can hold on to, it's that God is always at work. In all situations, even though we can't see it, God is at work. Now, there is such a thing as false hope. But God uses situations that we do not understand to bring about His work. So we need to trust in Him, to trust in His sovereign will to help us. Because one thing I want you to remember today is there is always hope. There's always hope. Now, if your hope is on money, Or your hope is like in a bigger salary check at the end of the month and maybe a better job, or maybe your hope is in Cyril Ramaphosa or whoever it is. It's misplaced, because hope can only be found in Jesus. All other ground is sinking sand. That wonderful hymn. Because only Jesus is reliable. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And there's hope in Him alone. And I see people grabbing onto different things to find hope. Different organizations. But hope is only found in Jesus. Sometimes we're disappointed in ourselves. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've made mistakes. Maybe you've sinned. And maybe even, you know, went away from God for a season. And you ask, can God forgive me? Can God restore me? And people ask me that. And my answer is always, absolutely yes. If you repent, confess your sins, Jesus will forgive you of your sins and restore you. That's wonderful. But sometimes you feel like a second-rate Christian because my sin is so great. I've messed up. Can God give me another chance? Can God forgive? Can God use? Yes, He will forgive you. Yes, He will restore you. Yes, He will use you. Yes, because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Yes. I want you to have hope. I want you to know, even if you've strayed away, there's hope. One of the greatest advantages of being a Christian is that we can put the past behind us. Isn't that great? You can forget about the past. No need for it to weigh you down. We can near the throne of grace and be set free from the past. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. There's hope for you and for me. But we have to have faith. We have to trust God. We have to see the promises of God is true. There's always, always hope. My mother went blind when I was 9 years old. And it must have been difficult for her. I was 9, so I can't remember everything. But one thing I remember is there was always hope. Even though it was a difficult thing for our family, my parents were Christians. And there was always hope. My mother went on to do what she normally does. You know, she still made food. Surprisingly, wonderful food. I still love my mom's food, although I don't ever say that to Natasha anymore. I remember my mom did the washing. She gave us hidings. Have you ever had a hiding from a blind woman? It's interesting. My mom was an amazing woman. She just went on. But what I remember most of all is that there was hope, not because she would one day maybe see again. Wasn't that? But it was that God is at work. Isn't that good news? There's hope. Hopelessness robs us of our passion for God and our fire for God. When we're hopeless, you can't go forward. You can't move forward. And I sit with people regularly that are not Christians and they're hopeless. And what do I tell them? I can give you tools to be happier for a day or a week, but there's no real hope if Jesus is not the object of your life. Hope in the promises of God. Hope in the sovereignty of God. Hope that Jesus will come again. Hope in heaven eternal. There's always hope. The second tool in this Christian survival kit that Paul gives us is Christian patience. Be patient in tribulations. And I think the obstacle to Christian patience is exhaustion, or just being tired. You sometimes feel tired, just exhausted, and just like everything is so difficult, tired, both physically and emotionally and mentally and spiritually. But hope is important even when it comes to patience in times of trouble. But because without hope, there's no hope that things will get better. If we know what we're hoping for, then we can wait for it patiently. Can wait for it. So you're in church today again, and maybe at this point you're feeling, hey man, there's hope. Things are not that bad, you know. There might be, you're feeling good. Well, that's great. But again, tomorrow the same problems await you. The same boss that's on your case every day is still there. The same problems that were in your family last week are still there. And things are just the same. And it's hard. Let's be honest about that. It's hard. It's difficult. And I don't think God wants us to just say, well, this is easy. You know, this is just, no, it's hard. There's an old saying that vision leaks. And I think I can tweak it a little bit and this morning say that hope leaks. You know, you're full of hope today, but as troubles come your way, as difficulties are just reveal themselves, hope fades away. And sometimes you get to a point where you just want to give up. It's just too much. Well, Paul knows what it means to deal with trouble, so he had his own share of it. But he tells us today to be patient. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. And you'll see that God is at work. The work of God will be revealed. It will be complete. And again, there's a difference between Christian patience and patience in general, right? Being patient in general means that you're struggling through it, but it doesn't lead anywhere. Bearing without any prospect that it will ever be different. That's depressing, eh? It's depressing. Christian patience means that we know that even this struggle, the struggle itself, is sometimes part of what God uses to do His work in our lives. The struggle itself is being used by God. And sometimes those moments of pain is used greatly by God to accomplish His purposes. For His glory. Our faith is tested and it grows, especially in times of struggle. Now, can you remember, some of you are old men. I don't know if you can remember. But can you remember riding a bicycle, Les? When last did you ride a bicycle? But you remember in Pretoria, I remember riding a bicycle in Pretoria, and boy, there are some serious uphills in Pretoria. Sometimes I push my bike, man. It's just, you can't anymore. This hill is just killing me. But you know what the wonderful thing is? When you get at the top of that hill, and there's this 2, 3, 4 kilometer downhill, it's fantastic. Fantastic. I'll deny this, and my kids, forget that Papa had said it. But you know, even if you let your hands go on that downhill, and when I had hair, the wind would go through my hair. Yes. It's fantastic. Going downhill. Well, I want to tell you that for every uphill in life, there's hope. If you're patient, you'll see the downhill. But most of us are not patient because it's tough and it's difficult. And I want to encourage you this morning to have faith and to hold on to Jesus and to know that there's hope and to be patient. All struggles and pain is worth it. It's worth it. We are patient in tribulation. I want you to listen to this. We are patient in tribulation because there is a purpose. Our Sovereign Father is doing something great. And so when you're very tired and you're ready to give up, be patient. In the midst of affliction, be patient. And in time, you'll see the purpose of God. How many times has that happened? You've gone through difficulty and years later, you look back and you can see God's plan. You didn't when you were going through it, but now you can. I forget birthdays. Yeah, well, I'm terrible at birthdays. My sister reminds me of the birthdays in our family. I'll get a WhatsApp. It's Dad's birthday. Thank you, sis. Pick up the phone and call my dad. It's wonderful, except when it's her birthday. But that's another story. I forget. Birthday doesn't matter to me, so I just forget a lot of things. But you know what? God never forgets. I want you to remember that God did not forget. He never forgets. Even when you feel like He has forgotten about me, I don't know where God is, He has left me. God is faithful, He is true, and He never forgets. Cast your burdens unto Him, for He cares for you. In the Greek, that cares for you can also be translated because He is thinking of you. God never forgets. Be patient. Hold on. In Afrikaans, there's a word called vasbyt. And I can't find an English translation for that. But it means to grind down, man, and just to grind it out and to hold on and never give up. Well, the third tool in this survival kit is constant prayer. By the way, just one of the things. Anybody had the electricity out this week? Yeah. Do you remember that feeling when it came back? It was like, yes! Isn't it? It's like, it's wonderful. You know, and sometimes if you find hope and you're patient, that's the feeling. When hope comes, it's that the electricity is back on. And I want that to be that moment for you today, spiritually, when you realize there's hope. Constant prayer. Be constant in prayer. One of the obstacles of prayer is lack of time. Lack of time. But in any relationship, you need to spend time with one another. Any husband, any wife, if you never talk, if you never spend time together, it'll be a disaster. There's a saying that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Now, maybe for a day or two, but it's actually a terrible statement. I think out of sight, out of mind is very true. That I think is true. Because out of sight, you just think about it, out of mind. And often, prayer suffers. And if you look at these verses, prayer is the glue that keeps all of this, brings all of this together. Natasha did such a good job, I can't be objective with a children's talk. You know, some of us pray seasons when it's difficult. It's like a spare wheel, you never use it until you've got a flat. I often wonder how God feels about that. You know, how does He answer that prayer? Well, I suppose if there's true repentance, God will hear it. But He's not a spare wheel. And we mustn't treat Him like one. Sometimes we're discouraged and we're defeated because we simply have not spent time with God. Philippians 4 verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And don't forget about verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now that deserves an amen. So many people are without peace, without joy, because we do not carry things to Him in prayer. Now there are many reasons to pray, but I think the best reason to pray and the most important reason to pray is because Jesus is worthy. We heard a wonderful sermon about worshiping God last week, and it's because God is worthy, because He's God. We should pray. He deserves to be honored. We pray because we need it. You need it. I know sometimes you live like you don't, and I do as well, but we need it. How difficult is it on a Saturday to pray and to have quiet time? We were talking about that yesterday. Because normally you have your routine, right? Friday, Saturday is different. You might be sleeping a bit late. If you have kids, that won't be happening. But sometimes it's difficult for me. I'm confessing. Sometimes on a Saturday it's difficult to find that time to pray away from family and all the rest of the things that's going on. Others need prayer. Others need it. We need to pray because others need it. You know, we pray that the hope that we have discovered, God will reveal to them. And it's wonderful, the world is looking for hope. I tell you now, one thing you can know today, out there, everybody that you come into contact with is looking for hope. Something that tells me that tomorrow is going to be okay, or next year will be all right, that the future will be sorted. Everybody wants to hear that everything is going to be all right. Well, Jesus brings that hope. And we must not be so selfish with that we do not share the hope that we have gotten with others. Be ready to give an explanation about the hope that lives in you. Are you ready to give that explanation? I hope so. This is a spiritual discipline. Praying is a spiritual discipline. You know, I like to have a specific time and place where I pray. You know, and I'm not talking about praying without ceasing. Yes, I pray in the car, you know, and I pray. I think prayer should be a lifestyle. I don't think it should just be morning, evening, morning, evening, morning, evening. That's great, but I don't think it's just that. I think prayer is talking to God as you go about your day. But I do think quiet time and prayer, that time, that special time of prayer, if you have a kind of a habit, a routine, same place, same time. And can I challenge the husbands? You know, some of you have little kids. Yeah, it's difficult for a lot of moms to find time to pray with little kids running around because they're loud and they're annoying sometimes. Yeah, that's the truth. I know they're beautiful, but it's the truth. So can I challenge husbands to help your wife find time? You know, not only to pray, but to spend time in the Word. Can I challenge you to help someone else? Maybe you know of someone that's just so tired. Make a meal. Take a meal to them and say, well, you don't have to prepare a meal today. There's time to pray. And it rhymes. We have to do that. You are too busy not to pray, my friend. And the sad thing is often that's what happens. We're very busy. And we don't have time. So I can't pray now. I don't have time. I can't read Bible. I don't have time. Can I tell you a secret? That's the best time to pray. You need it more than any other time in your life. You need the Word of God more than. You need to pray more than any other time. If you skimp it, if you gain your life, if you lose it, you'll gain it. Please, when you're busy, don't forget to pray. Well, let me conclude. You know that this Tuesday was International Day of Happiness. Yeah? This Tuesday, were you happier than usual? I mean, are you happier now than last week? International Day of Happiness. And they released the World Happiness Report. Yeah, there's a report. If you are from Finland, you are a very happy person today. They're the happiest people on earth if you live in Finland. If you're South Africa, we're 105th on the list, 105. So who's here from Burundi? I know clear of this. Thank you, Solomon, Francois. Sorry, guys, that's 156. That's the bottom of the log. It's the bottom of the log. Can I tell you a secret? There's people in Burundi that live with nothing, that have more joy and hope in their lives than a guy sitting in Finland, living in a first world country with the best health system and pension fund and social caring for those who are in need. You know what I'm saying? Hope is not based on what you have. It's based on who you believe in. What you believe. And so don't let material things and worldly things distract you from what is important. Don't let it rob you of your hope. You know, I won't always be happy. We won't always be happy. In fact, we're not. Some days I'm miserable. I'm like, why me, Lord, kind of days. And I can feel very sorry for myself. But I think I can, and we all should, always have hope. because we call him Father. Our Father, who art in heaven. Man, that's hope, isn't it? So I want you to just evaluate your life this morning and just think where you are. Maybe you need that survival kit this morning. And I want to challenge you to take it and pray through it and think through it. And I want you to realize that there is hope and lots of it. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now just rejoicing in your word. We thank you that your word is true, Lord. We thank you that your promises are secure. We thank you that we can just be so confident in the truth that you have given us this morning even. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you never forsake us, that you never abandon us. Thank you that you, even like Asaph said, when his feet felt like his feet were slipping, you were always holding him by the right hand. Oh Lord, pray for those this morning that just need a bit of hope. Pray for those who this morning feels like everything is just too much. Pray for those who feel like just giving up. Lord, give them hope. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Without that, there would never be any hope or joy for us. Lord, help us to have faith in you. And Lord, we just thank you that your Spirit is busy at work in our lives, even in times where we can't see it. You are alive, you are active, and you are busy fulfilling your purposes. Please be at work in us, Lord. And thank you for Philippians 1 verse 6 that says that he who began the great work in you will be faithful to complete it. Do it, Lord, we humbly ask. In Jesus' name, amen.